There you go.
Okay. Hello, everybody, both the attendees of the webinar as well as the attendees here in the room. We're doing the live stream from the actual conference as well as doing the webinar. And I apologize for the delay in starting. We had a little technical difficulties. So we may have to relay to each other the questions because these Labor of Hercules webinars are designed to be interactive for the participants to discuss the actual labor along with each other. Okay? So let me see.
Each other. Okay? So let me see.
I just got an echo. And now I've got some noise. Can anybody else hear that noise, or am I the only one who's getting this static? You're hearing it? Okay. All right. All right.
First, I can hear it, Bill, but just keep going, love.
Okay. What I'm going to do...
Yeah, just keep going.
I need a mouse. Can you mute everybody, Michael? Thank you. Okay, it's not working. Okay, I'm hearing some kind of static, but I'm going to try and work around it. I hope it's not interfering with any of you. One of the things I want to do really quickly is go through... It didn't go, it won't go down.
What do you want?
I want to go down. Down arrow to the next slide.
Down arrow to the next slide.
You want the whole thing? You want the whole thing? Go back to that, hold on. Back to that, hold on.
Okay. The webinar noise protocols, for those of you who are attending, please make sure you keep yourself self-muted until it's time for you to speak. That way we minimize the back feed that we would otherwise get. Okay?
Not yet.
Oh, no. How did that happen? If ever you do need to speak, please raise your hand. It's going to be over here in this area. You're going to have a little hand. If the arrow is pointing up and you press it, that means you're raising it. If the arrow is pointing down, that means it is raised, and you will need to lower it, please. Okay? Well, unless you have a question, then you can leave it up. And then I've got a couple of other people helping me here, hopefully being able to see the hands while I'm in the middle of the discussion. Okay, so let's see the attendees. So we've got quite a few attendees here. I'd like to welcome Annabelle White, Deborah Trinich, and I'm sorry if I butchered that, Keith Gorley, Mary Knudsen, Peg Rosencrantz, Ray Beverly, Risa DeAngelis, Suzanne Velez, Teresa Pluth,
Victor
Carrington, Victor Dutro, and Yvonne Weniger. So welcome to our conference here in Phoenix. All right, I'd like to reiterate something that we had in the first webinar last month on why we actually study the Hercules myth. I just absolutely love this particular phrase. The progress of a world disciple is illustrated in the heavens by the labors of Hercules through the zodiacal signs. It is as though God had pictured in space his plan for the working out of the evolution of the human spirit back to its source. My notes. Thank you. Okay, and for those of you who aren't familiar with it, The Labors of Hercules is based on the articles that Alice Bailey wrote. She first printed them in The Beacon, and then it was later published as a book. Okay, I would like to see a show of hands from all of the attendees of the webinar.
Attendees of the webinar.
Of those who are familiar with The Labors of Hercules. Also in the audience here. Good. There's a very large population, both in the webinar and in the audience here today, who are familiar with the labors. Because what I'd like to do is have you all discuss the labor. Oh, is that what's happening? Okay. I personally can't walk and chew bubble gum at the same time, so I don't know why I thought this might be a good idea. I just hope it's not too bad an experience for all of you. Okay, so the beginning of the Aries labor. A voice came through that portal. Hercules, my son, go forth. Pass through the gate and enter on the way. Perform thy labor and return to me, reporting on the deed. And thus the labor started, and the first great act of service was begun. Now, this particular labor, King, and I'm sorry if I'm going to butcher these Greek names, but King Eurystheus, his son, the mares were just running rampant. They were killing people. They were destroying the landscape. These were the mares of Diomedes, the son of Mars, and they were out of his control, and the king needed something done. So he's the one that asked Hercules to go take care of these mares. So what was it that Hercules did? Does anybody want to? Well, basically what he did was he took his good friend Abderus with him, and they laid plans for the task, and they followed the horses. They were able to eventually corner and capture the horses. And then Hercules is like, huh, my part's done. You know, I took care of this. Let Abderus now corral him and bring him in. But Abderus, he was afraid of the horses, right? So what happened? He let them get the better of him, and they actually killed him. So Hercules actually failed in this task the first time. And in doing so, he lost a very good friend. And then he went back, and he re-accomplished the task. Okay, I'm getting the noise again. I hope you all aren't. Okay. So, does anybody have anything to say about the way Hercules handled this? He was grief-stricken. He went back, and he reaccomplished very sadly, no longer arrogant, very humble. He reaccomplished the task. Yes, Francis, you had something to... Yes, Francis volunteered that it was an issue of hubris. He definitely had that, and he had it knocked right out of him, didn't he? So what happened when he went back to confront the teacher? What did the teacher tell him? The teacher looked him over with care and sent the horses to the place of peace, there to be tamed and broken to their task. The people of that land, released from fear, welcomed the deliverer, Hercules. But Hercules didn't feel like a deliverer, did he? So the teacher turned to Hercules and said, "Labor the first is ended, the task is done, but badly done." So what do we learn from this? We can complete the task, but we can still do it badly. And this was a disciple. We see that a lot in the Dinah books, don't we? We saw that in the example that Elena gave us yesterday, where the disciple CDP failed in the task that was set before her. So the first labor started a partial failure, as is often the case with inexperienced and impetuous aspirants. Yes, Peter. Peter from the audience here, what he contributed was that it seemed like Hercules delegated the task that he had, that some leaders are like that, that it was a test of his leadership ability, and that some leaders will do that. They will delegate. Did I capture everything that you? Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have any thing that they would like to contribute to this part of it?
There's nothing wrong with delegation, and I think that's also part of what is being said here. But the leader who is delegating has to really understand the strengths and weaknesses of the one who is now in charge, and that he failed to do.
Yes. Thank you, Lawson. Lawson here at the conference contributed that the leader who delegates has to understand the strengths and weaknesses of the individuals that he delegates to. Make sure you get the right person and that they have the capability to do it. And that was what Hercules failed to do in this instance. Okay, so we pretty much covered this part of it here. On the slide that I'm showing. The task was badly done, but the gifts of failure guarantee success when rightly understood. Okay. So the meaning of the myth, what do we get from this? The significance of it was the life of the inner unfoldment of the soul and the life of service that begins. This first labor is the first step upon the path. Each sign subjects the man who is working in it to the influence of certain distinctive forces and provides him with certain tendencies. These we must understand if the meaning
These
of the
we
test
must understand if
is
the meaning
to emerge.
Of the test is to emerge.
As we study Hercules, we see that he is going from Aries to Taurus to Gemini, and that's,
and
the,
that's
manner
the manner
in which we are going to study these myths every month.
Myths every month.
Ordinary man moves through the zodiac the other way around, from Aries to Pisces to Aquarius and so on. That's ordinary man, the movement that he makes. When you become a disciple and you step on the, you mount the fixed cross, you then start going around Aries to Taurus to Pisces. Ordinary man actually goes through the signs in the wrong order. He's first given power and strength without learning the earlier lessons that equip him to handle that in a more humane and unselfish manner. But the disciple goes through the signs in the right order, where he learns the lesson of Aries that then equips him for Taurus, that then equips him for Gemini, and so on and so forth for the path of the disciple. And we still have the personality working in the reversed order and the soul evolving in the right order, and they're turning, those circles are turning in on each other, and that's what causes the great conflict between the disciple, that the disciple has, is this reorientation while the physical body is still going the other way around. So, initially, ordinary man is immersed in form and he follows the necessary path of illusion and appearances. But Hercules, the soul, follows the true way, going against the tide. Hercules, the awakened soul, is realizing the day of opportunity. He has received his instructions to undertake these 12 labors, and he demonstrates his capabilities. He's equipped with the divine powers, but he doesn't know it yet. He doesn't know how to use them yet, and that's what he's learning to do. Just as we all are also equipped with that and need to learn how to do. And so he mounts the fixed cross of the heavens, upon which he remains in spirit until the last labor has been accomplished. Okay, does anybody have any comments that they would like to add to that? Okay, so his journey. We saw him start and react to thought impulse, but he's dealing with it from the angle of the personality. He needs to learn something of mind control, how to corral the evil thought forms, and use the mind positively under his soul influence. He needs to begin to define his spiritual urges and the righteousness of them, and eventually he will end as the world's savior. So Aries is a sign of commencement. Cosmically speaking, it is the sign of creation. It marks the beginning of the first subjective, latent consciousness of the existence and the start of the human being upon the circle of experience. For the aspirant to disciple, it connotes the period of reorientation and renewed self-conscious effort. His start upon that final stage of the evolutionary path that carries him out of the human kingdom and enables him to make the transition into the kingdom of the gods. Aries is also the sign of outgoing power, of the streaming forth of divine energy from the central deity or from the human being, a son of God. This energy streams forth in two directions. Thus, the point becomes the line. The one becomes the first. It streams forth into the world of forms and also into the world of being or of spirit. One stream of energy expresses the path of return of the inward going, and the other constitute the two arcs of the great circle, or the two of them together constitute great arcs of the circle. And this sign starts the path on which form is taken and dominates. On it likewise begins the life of inner unfoldment and the domination of the soul. Reorganization, reorientation, repolarizing, and regeneration. The two uses of this force are dependent upon the mental attention of the being, whether it's divine or human, using it and focusing it on either the form or the soul. Any discussion on that? You guys are real easy.
They can raise their hand.
Yes. For those of you attending the webinar, you can raise your hand if you would like to add a comment or two. So let's look at the sign of Aries, the sign of the ram. It's a fire sign, as are Leo and Sagittarius. It's initiating, beginnings. Will or power expresses itself through creative processes, as we just heard a minute ago, whether it's divine creation or human creation. In the beginning, activities are directed towards the material. Can I have my water? The material side, and later towards the spiritual. Its polar opposite is Libra, an air sign. Its rulers exoterically, Mars. Esoterically, Mercury. The key words from the forward of from the angle of the form, let form again be sought. And from the soul, I come forth, and from the plane of mind, I rule. So for eons, the life force is applied to selfish ends, self-gratification, and the satisfaction of desires. And little by little, the form life loses its attraction until having passed around and around the zodiacal wheel many lifetimes, the man finds himself back again in Aries, only this time with a new focus, a fresh interest, and a different vision. He has held before him the promise that, having achieved certain objectives, he may cease from incarnating and attain the kingdom of the gods. He has learned his own essential duality. And now he yearns to cease from satisfying the lower aspect of the duality and to meet the needs of the higher. Excuse me. Any comments on that? The three initial impulses in Aries. The urge to take form, to become involved in matter. This urge is followed by the consequent urge to create. Create worlds of expression that satisfy desires. The urge to incarnate. To take a body and experience life. And thirdly, the urge to resurrection. In Aries, there begins to be felt the urge to achieve freedom from the form, to stand in the liberty of the sons of God. This reaches its mass in Cancer and its human form in Leo, the densest point of illusion in form in Scorpio. And in Pisces, the form dies, only to be rebuilt again in the wearing round of form experience. And of course, in Libra, its opposite sign, it reaches its consummation of balance and of equilibrium. For the intervening experience and the lessons learned from the intermediate five labors between Aries and Libra bring about the poise and balanced attitude which we shall note in Hercules when he captures the boar in Libra. And that's what we've just seen here. So he is now equipped with the faculty of mind in Aries. Do Did I miss a slide that talked about the horses? Oh. I don't remember talking about this. Maybe I did and blanked it out. But one of the distinctions I like to make is that the horses stand for the intellectual activity. The white horses symbolize the illumined mind, and the black horses represent the lower mind, false ideas, and wrong concepts. The task was to destroy the wrong mental attitudes and ideas, to capture the female aspect of the mind so no more mares are bred, to stifle selfishness, unkindness, gossip, and criticism. Yes, Francis.
I think a really fascinating detail, about the horses is that they are man-eating horses. Well, horses eat grass, but so whenever you get that kind of
closer.
Okay. Whenever you get that kind of detail that doesn't fit in a symbol, you need to pay special attention. And in this case, of course, what eats us is that lower mind, that black horse. You know, it's eating the attention to our higher aspect. And so that's what has to be around.
And part of that is, you know, the right speech. I'm sorry, for those of you on the webinar who didn't hear Francis, he was talking about the horses and the lower mind and corralling that also. He was just reinforcing that point, okay? But look at what these unkindness, gossip, and criticism. Stop back and think what those have done to your life. Either when you have said them or someone has said them to you. You know, that gets back to that harmlessness, the right thought, right speech, and right action. They all fit together in with that harmlessness, and that's what they're talking about here, capturing that feminine aspect that they're talking about in that gossip and unkindness and criticism. One of the things that DK mentions in the Dyna books is that the rapport that's established with the group can be cut off instantly with criticism. And I find that just fascinating, that that is how powerful our thoughts and our words are. Okay, does anybody else have anything that they would like to add to the discussion on the Aries labor? Did I miss any of the points of the labor in my flustered day?
Bill?
Yes? Tiffany has her hand up.
Bill Kay here. Yes, a couple of students have questions. I don't know if they're able to speak or not, but I notice a question mark, and I can't actually read what they've written. There's Annabelle, Victor Carrington, and Yvonne. They have a question mark beside their name, so I'm not sure if they have written a question, and somebody else can see that. Maybe Michael can check.
Tiffany, of course, she is unmuted. She can speak.
Tiffany is okay. Okay, Tiffany, can you hear us? Can you speak?
But if I can hear her typing, then I should hear her speak.
Yeah, we can hear you typing.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah,
Tiffany?
Gotcha, Tiffany. Yes.
Yeah.
Can you turn her up?
Can
we can hear her.
Oh, you can hear her?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Tiffany, you go ahead and say something. I'll tell BL what you say. Well, Tiffany, go ahead. Go ahead, Tiffany. I feel like Thomas Edison. Go ahead. No more. You hear anything?
Tiffany, can you hear me? Tiffany, you self-muted.
Yeah, Tiffany muted herself by mistake. Oh, well, we'll get through this somehow. These are the early days of telecommunication.
How do I release it? You just hit it again, Tiffany, okay?
You can't release herself mute.
I can't release it, no. But she can. Just hit it again. You're still self-muted. Okay, let's go back to the typing. Can you type it, Tiffany? Can you open up the typed thing to see what you...
I'm trying to find chat questions. Okay. How do I release it?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Gotcha. Yes.
Wonderful.
Speak. Someone... Someone just said, can you hear me now? And I said, yes. I said, yes.
Tiffany, are you there?
And I said, wonderful. Can
yes.
you hear me now?
Yes.
Wondrous.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was just curious as to know if Hercules was conscious or aware of the spiritual enlightenment that he was achieving during all the trials and obstacles he was overcoming.
Yes, that's the whole purpose. He has to be conscious. He has to consciously go through to learn the lessons.
But he wasn't aware. He was not aware that it was happening. That's the question, I think.
Right.
Was Hercules aware that he was becoming enlightened while...
He was being tested?
Being tested, but was he feeling he was succeeding? Maybe not.
I don't think after the first one, but he was told that he successfully, well, he was told that he passed the test,
badly.
Badly.
And so therefore, as a Taurus, he came in the gates very slowly.
But you have to pass the test consciously. You have to be aware.
There is some indication that this is the last 12 levels. And so there would be a high degree of consciousness there.
Right. What Francis said was there's indication that these are his last 12 lives. So there would be a high degree of consciousness there.
Of what he's doing.
Right. I hope that answers your question, Tiffany.
Okay.
We had another question, I think, from Annabelle.
I have a comment to that question.
No.
Okay.
To the previous question. Before the beginning any of the labors, Hercules was instructed by his teacher, but we can see it as a symbolic between the life's experience and the soul, and when he's been in the soul consciousness, he's been aware about that labor that expects him, but when he's in the labor, it might be that
he's not
getting that his soul knowledge, and therefore he goes, as we all go through our life, not knowing that consciously in our labor.
Okay, thank you. And your name is Alexander?
Alexander.
Okay. Alexander from the audience here just offered that, Hercules goes before his master before each labor, and whether that's between lives or not, he's conscious then of what his next plan is. But at the time that he's actually going through the labor, he may have veils and may unconsciously not realize what he's doing as he's going through it. So I hope that adds some clarification. Yes, Peter.
Folks, it seems like a very tall order for the first test to be leadership. And if you consider the rulers of Aries, Mars, Mercury, Uranus, it looks like he's on the Mars level. He's out for a lark in a way with a friend, and he's not worried about what might happen. But secondly, thinking he doesn't, in terms of speech, he writes speech. He doesn't, he's not at the point where he understands. He's in a living universe where he's surrounded by the automated voice, and everything he said would be magnified or responded to.
Right. Peter just offered that he was probably working under the Martian aspect of Aries, isn't really a sign of a leader at this point, but that he didn't really understand the power that he had through his speech, through his thoughts, and he went out cocky and just didn't realize the magnitude of the labor and how easy it was to fail it and to have his friend destroyed because of that cockiness. The army of the voice, yes. He couldn't really, he didn't realize that he had the power of the army of the voice, is what the way Peter expressed it. So, okay, I'm sorry. I think Annabelle here in the webinar, you had a question. Can you hear us, Annabelle?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. In studying this piece, does Abderus represent that portion of Hercules, in other words, of ourselves, that where, in a sense, almost like the death or the change of the ego, and then he's mourning that loss of himself, but he knows he has to let that go to go forward. Is that?
Yes, in a sense, it's his personality. Abderus represents his personality, and that was the death that he had to let go of.
Right. We have to release ourselves to the higher self.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let me see. Victor, I've unmuted you. Can you hear us, Victor? Yeah, Victor Carrington. Can you hear us? Let me try Victor Dutra. Oh, you don't have a question anymore. Okay, let's try Yvonne.
Try Yvonne.
Yvonne, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, in the solar fire meditation for Aries, one of the rulers was Uranus. Now, I see that you only had two rulers today.
Yes. We're working here with the personality and the soul, and Uranus is the hierarchical ruler. So that's a higher level.
Okay, I just, we had done the solar fire meditation and I saw that Uranus was in there too. Thank right. you, that's all.
Okay. Okay, Annabelle, you've got your hand up.
Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to.
Okay.
I was...
All right, does anybody else in here have any comments?
John Wegener has something to say.
Yvonne, your hand is up.
Or is it she?
It's down now. The arrow's down. Now it's up. I'll put it back down.
You just okay, raised it again.
Okay. Very good.
Okay, we're good to go.
And you would like to say something. Is it James?
The consciousness related to personality and the soul are equally, they both conscious?
James asked if the soul and the personality are equally conscious. Well, actually, the soul is the consciousness and the personality is really the attachment to the form. So you have to marry the two of them up so that the soul is working through the physical vehicle of the personality and that then raises the consciousness of the personality to the soul. But it's, at first there is no consciousness really of the personality or of the soul. Does that make sense?
I'd like to address myself to that. Can I have that?
Yes. Thank you.
Am I on? I'm on. The factor of soul, which is not what we call the soul on the higher mental plane, is consciousness itself. That's what BL was saying. But I think we have to realize something. There's only one thing that has consciousness. It is the spirit itself. The spirit is the being, the identity, which is possessed of consciousness. So, the spirit has consciousness on the monadic level, the spirit functioning as an extension of the spirit, of the monad, has consciousness on the higher mental plane, we call it the soul level, and even going down into the personality, that is also an attenuation of spirit, which has consciousness surrounded by the personality vehicles. So it's all the same spirit at whatever level you find it. It's just that it is increasingly contained, cramped, confined, and that loosens up as the spirit rises back through the higher mental plane and finally through the spiritual triad and finally back to its own home. It's one being, one consciousness, but the consciousness varies according to the surroundings. In other words, you know, what I'm trying to say is the monad has consciousness.
But that was also Hercules's task. Hercules's task was to recognize his duality and the divinity part of it and then raise himself to that. Okay, Rose is asking if life is the same as consciousness, but on the unconscious level, what the difference is. Exactly, my understanding is, and I'm thinking of the triad here, life is the spirit, consciousness is the middle aspect, the sun, and then matter is the form. So does that make sense? The spirit is always there, the consciousness is the sun, it's the middle one. So in the triad, you try to get all three of them to work together, which is really the one, the spirit.
Yeah, and you might say that in the triad, what do you have? Will, you have will, you have love, for a few reasons, and you have intelligence. And the spirit is the subject of all of those. It stands in the middle of the triangle. It's the higher point in the tetrahedron. See, but there are equivalences, aren't there, BL? I mean, like...
sure, there's all kinds.
Life, being, those two are a big equivalence. Life being spirit, but will and spirit are not the same. Because will is the first expression of spirit.
Right, right. So it always gets, you know... There's so many different ways to look at the three, but it's always getting those three in there, and the consciousness aspect is the second aspect, the sun. Is that, from the look on your face, that's crystal clear as mud. Okay. Okay.
Go ahead, Peter, you can use your mic.
I keep on going back to leadership. I'm thinking of Mars and Mercury. In a way, Mercury, or intelligent discerning communication, is the soul of right action for Mars.
Okay.
I think this may be the test he missed.
Okay. Could they hear him because he's mic'd, or do I need to... I need to repeat it. Okay. Peter just said a very good statement, and he's going to have to say it again. Mars and Mercury.
Mercury is basically the soul of leadership. Mercury is intelligent, discerning communication. It's the soul of leadership.
Okay.
And of action.
Mercury is the intelligent, discerning, soul of right action. Okay. I'm sorry. I have trouble relaying the gist of all of it, but the way you said that was very good. So thank you for that. Okay. Do we have any other? Oh, and you added, Peter, that that was the lesson that Hercules failed to realize. Right. Thank you. Yes, Lawson.
Lesson also brings up that issue of, are we meant to adopt the personality, or are we meant to train the personality so that it becomes a vehicle for the expression of the soul? I think that's one of the things that the test illustrates. You failed, you know, you told us at the end, well, you passed, but badly. It's that he really wasn't meant to have his friend, in other words, his personality, die.
Right. Lawson was bringing out that part of the test was not necessarily to kill the personality, but to train the personality for the use of the soul. And that's where Hercules failed or did the test badly, because he actually killed the personality.
May I say that in this labor, the personality was killed through neglect, and in the Virgo labor, it was killed on purpose. But interesting that two signs ruled by Mercury, and in which he failed both times, the personality was not sustained. You know how it is. Aries has no regard for consequences. It just does things. And so therefore, the consequences come home karmically. And then Virgos get too fastidious about it, right? And they just want to be so much spirit that they forget that they're matter as well. So it's overdone. We really only have 1 minute. If we stick to time, we can stick a little more.
Francis has something to say, so hold on just 1 minute here.
Hello, I have a question to ask, which is, why of all the animal forms were horses chosen to represent the animal nature? The only thing that occurs to me is this sense of progression that we see in Sagittarius, which you can look from, and I'm not sure this is correct, but you know, from the horse and the centaur to the rider on the horse, it's a triplicity that is established. But, you know, this isn't Sagittarius, this is Aries, and I wonder if anybody has any insights into, you know, why not a curly tail pig?
I think it actually said in the labor that that there were other myths that did in fact give the definition of the horses. I'm sorry, you guys. Francis asked why the horse was chosen out of all the animals to be portrayed in this particular labor. And I believe, at least my understanding when I read the labor and the information that DK gives in the book, that it was because there were other traditions that had these particular definitions for the horses. The white horse symbolizing the illumined mind and the black horse representing the lower mind and false ideas and wrong concepts. And that there were other stories that alluded to that. But yeah, it may be a question of which came first, the chicken or the egg. And because they used that here in this particular labor, that is where the connotation came from.
I can suggest the answer to that question. Probably because in ancient Greek they were no monkeys. If we look at the labors of some Vedic hero, there would be monkeys that killed personality.
Alexander offered a little comic relief over here with, because in ancient Greece there were no monkeys.
but I would like to say the horse is a sixth-ray animal. And we are dealing with that which belongs to Diomedes, the son of Mars, is it what?
Yes.
So the horse represents the irrational part of the human nature, which Hercules, failing to work through Mercury, cannot control. In other words, he doesn't regulate through Uranus, he does not think ahead through Mercury. It's all subject to the lower part of Mars, which is a rebellious and uncontrolled elemental influence. So it seems that we're dealing with the sixth ray out of control, the irrational part of man out of control. The horse is a pretty good symbol for that. He says the horse is the emotional nature. That's what he tells us in different places. Yeah.
Right. And there's so much richness in the labors of Hercules. There's so much that I didn't even begin to cover that was in the book. You know, he gets into the other constellations and everything, and it was just outside the scope of what we could cover here today. I've got a couple of more people that have something to say. Yes, Eva.
Just continuing on with the thought of the horse, there are many places where the Tibetan uses the expression of reining in, and when you rein in, we are using the parts that pull in the various things that are out of control. We often see horses that are wild or bucking that need to be tame, right? We need to teach them. And that's what we need to do. We need to tame the emotional nature. We need to rein in what is out of control.
So and it stands for the mind, too, doesn't
and,
it?
And the mind, yes.
Yeah. Right. Ava contributed that the language that we hear about reining in the mind, about reining in the control, and taming the mind, that those are all things that you do with horses too. So the horse symbology actually carries forward in a lot of different ways with the mind. So thank you for that. Yes, Peter?
It occurred to me that for many centuries, millennia, humans and horses work together as friends. Horses generally run wild. They have to be tamed before they can participate in this relationship.
Thank you. Peter contributed that for a millennia, many millennia, that man and horses have worked together, but that man has always had to tame those horses prior to they were wild and they had to be tamed. So it's so by not seeing horses as friend, Hercules lost his friend. Yeah. Very nicely put, Peter. Thank you.
Personality and nature is ruled by Mars. That's the sixth ray. That's the horse. The purified personality is the white horse. The horse itself is the whole thing, really. You got to ride the horse. By the way, before we sign off, it may be possible to show our friends on the screen. We might be able to turn a camera around and let you say hi.
Okay, I'm going to let
you see what that. Whenever
Michael do that.
Okay. Now, this is just a vain hope. And by the way, while all this has been going on, I've been channeling Thomas Edison, who's been listening in. And he says, just persist. Now we know 999 things that don't work, okay? So just one more and we're good. So anyway, just very quickly, if I can do this, because I hope you can hear me. I have no idea whether you can hear me or not. But we're very happy to allow or to have it be possible for the group to join, the groups to join up with each other. And, okay, so let's just see how big I can make this. And then you all have to wave hello, right? Okay, hold on.
This is we just, hear you, know,
a little
Michael.
Bit of social cohesion, you know what I mean?
Good.
Okay, so give it a try. Okay, now. I'm probably stepping on my own cord.
Or mine.
Wait a second. Hold on. BL and I may end up hanging ourselves here.
We have a glimmer of light. We can see you and BL.
What did I look?
BL.
No, you. We can see it.
No, we can't. Oh, you want to see?
Oh, you can't see them.
But you know, you got to see yourself because you look pretty, you know. Okay, hold on, Bill. Don't go away because if you go away, I can't be heard. Whether or not I have a microphone, I mean, makes no difference.
I'm attached. I can't go away.
Well, that's funny. I'm attached too. Bob, help. And I think if Hercules is just trying to do a little comedy.
I can hear both of you, and I can see
you gotta know
the door and the speakers.
Bill and Michael image. What about the group?
We're trying. We're trying to get the group. Hold on 1 minute.
Now,
this is Rose on the floor, if you can see her. Okay. Wave, Rose.
This is the group. This is the, you see the mental illumination is beaming from everybody.
There we've got it. There we've got it.
It's on every one of you.
Now we can see everybody.
Okay, now we go very slowly. So that everyone can have their face in the sun.
Yes, bit blurry. Ah, that's clearer.
Very nice.
That's clearer.
Okay. All right. Well, one.
No, they're not upside down.
Two, everybody.
Now they're upside down.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're good. Oh, good, good. Look, very creditable.
No, they're very not. Very no, 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 no. They're not upside down.
The eager, esoteric.
Very good.
Thinking along with each other, mentally illumined. Very good. Thank you.
Very good.
High tech, you know what I mean?
Very good.
Okay. All right, Bill. We can say goodbye to everybody or whatever. Hold on.
Great to see you all.
Up here.
Great to
okay,
see
yes,
you
we
all.
We say goodbye. Okay, this has been an amazing webinar. Thank you.
Tell them it was great to see them all.
Thank you all for attending. I really appreciate it. And I'm sorry if we missed any of your questions or your hands.
Very good. Everybody, very good. Okay. Okay.
Thank you so much. Right, that was wonderful.
Now what we do here?
Yay.
We walk here.